Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello and welcome to Forever 35, a podcast about the things we do to take care of ourselves. I'm Kate Spencer.
And I'm Dori Shafrir.
And we are not experts.
But we are two friends who like to talk a lot about serums.
And this that you are listening to is a mini episode where we hear from you. We share your comments and thoughts and answer your questions to the best of our ability.
And please remember, we are not experts. We're just podcast hosts. And we do always encourage you to seek support first and foremost from a doctor and or a mental health professional as needed.
These episodes would not exist without you, dear listeners. So if you would like to contribute and reach us, our voicemail number is 781-591-0390 and our email is forever35podcast@gmail.com.
And if we do mention any products on the episodes, they are always on our website, forever35podcast.com.
Like the product we're going to mention in this first listener email.
Oh, wait. I just want to also mention one thing, which is that our merch is on sale this week. We're doing a little Valentine's Day.
10% off.
10% off sale with the code LOVE. And that'll be in effect until 11:59 p.m. on the 15th. So get on over there. Get a necklace or get yourself a Valentine's Day gift.
Buy yourself something nice.
Yeah.
Even if not from our site, from somewhere. Okay? Treat yourself this Valentine's Day.
Sorry, I cut you off.
It's okay. We're friends. I can handle it. And I want to read this email. Just listened to the mini episode 92, where a listener and Kate talked about the Impress press on nails. I tried press on nails after some friends raved about the Impress, but as a super short nail lover, I didn't like the length of the press ons and the feeling of having a thick layer over my nails. Anyway, I just want to shout out the Dashing Diva Gloss Gel Strips as an alternative. They're like nail polish in sticker form and were super easy to apply and have cute designs and even gems. They're supposed to last up to 14 days, and I'm currently on day 5, and it still looks like I have a fresh mani. Hope you give them a try.
Hot tip.
I've never tried a gel sticker.
Me neither, but I'm intrigued.
I am too, especially because there is, I mean, look, I know I was just mentioning the new Taylor Swift documentary. She talks about doing her own nails in that documentary. This was an off-air convo.
Yeah, you didn't miss anything.
No, don't worry. It was just like, have you seen this?
Mm-hmm.
But she does her own nails. And I was like, you know, I could try to figure out how to do my own nails, at least like buff them and shape them.
Totally.
You know?
Yep.
So this would be a little bit of the next level journey, but I'm here for it.
I'm here for this for you too.
Well, guess what? This next voicemail is all for you.
Oh, I love a voicemail for me.
Oh, this is about as on brand Dory as you can get here.
Hey, Kate and Dory, just calling to tell you that your World of Lentils could be a reality. In Eastern Washington in August, there is a lentil festival. It's actually the National Lentil Festival in Pullman, Washington. And apparently that region of Eastern Washington and Western Idaho produce about a quarter of all the lentils in the U.S. So check it out. I think their website is probably lentilfest or lentilfestival.com. Hope you have fun. Bye.
You You realize that we're going, right?
I mean, I would. I've already looked into it.
And?
And there really is a lentil festival that has, it's the National Lentil Festival. It is lentilfest.com. It's in Pullman, Washington. It's a weekend affair.
Okay.
In August, okay. 16th and 17th.
Listening.
There's live music. There's food. Assuming the food is lentils. It's a food and brew fest. So that may also include beer.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But like the pictures that I was looking at, it's like of like people dancing and stuff. And that's like,
wow.
Great. There's a lentil cook-off.
Ooh.
A demo stage. Ooh. You've got vendors. A parade.
This sounds great. So, do they crown like a Miss Lentil? Mr. Lentil?
Gender neutral lentil?
pronoun lentil?
I don't know, Dory, but I feel like you should start petitioning for that.
I really feel like they should have that.
You would campaign?
Not for myself.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, I would get behind the...
You enjoy a lentil competition?
Sure.
Where someone is crowned?
Yes.
Number one lentil? No, there's like a whole lineup of bands.
It sounds great. How much does it cost?
I haven't gotten that far. Hold
How do on. We get to Pullman, Washington? It
I
sounds far.
I also didn't... I did look. You can fly
to...
Spokane, Lewiston?
Lewiston, Idaho.
Mm-hmm. Or Pullman, Moscow Regional Airport.
Definitely sounds like a multiple connection situation.
Possibly. Look, is this a reality for us?
Possibly.
I mean, the thought of going 2 days to a lentil festival sounds amazing. And like right now, I feel like I've gone lentil crazy because our listeners have been so wonderful about sending us lentil recipes. So they keep coming into our inbox. And I have one pulled up right now. Smitten Kitchen's warm lentil and potato salad.
Ooh, yum.
Yes, I will share this with you. And in the recipe, she, Deb, talks about... Deb is Smitten Kitchen, right? Mm-hmm, I got that right.
Yeah.
Talks about caviar lentil. Like then I started getting obsessed with finding really good lentils, which I don't even know where to begin.
Mm-hmm.
So we're on to something. Not us, like our listeners
lentils
are on to something.
Great.
They really are.
I was eating lunch just now and Kate asked if I was eating lentils, but I was eating split peas.
We're cheating on lentils.
With a very similar legume.
That's what they all say, Dory.
How dare you?
Yeah, I mean, I love that we got some lentil loaf recipes that I'd like to try. We're trying to figure out the best way to share all the lentil information we've received.
I have a question about something I just said.
Yes.
Legume? Are split peas legumes or are they vegetables because they're peas?
Sammy, can you please take a break from your work and Google, are split peas vegetables? I'm going to look right now. You know, I just want to say we do the important work here on this podcast. Oh, my gosh.
Split peas are a member of the legume.
They are legumes. I was right.
Thank you, Sammy.
Thank you
for doing that important research.
I can't believe I doubted
that
myself.
Was beyond.
I apologize to all of the legumes out there.
Well, lentils are a legume?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
Peanuts are not, though, right?
Peanuts are. They're not a nut.
That's what it is. That's what it is. Mm. Peanuts mm. are. I mean, also, peanuts are the best.
Are they?
I love peanuts. I mean, look, I want to also just pay respect to people who have to deal with nut allergies and peanut allergies. I'm not trying to be flip. I personally like peanuts and peanut butter.
That is not flip.
I'm just trying to be respectful. Some people, peanuts can kill them.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
I'll mess around with those peanuts. But
I'm meh on peanuts.
What about peanut butter?
It's fine.
What?
I mean, I like it. But
peanut butter to me is like top five foods.
My husband feels the same way.
Just another way I'm very similar to your husband.
Well.
You're stuck with the two of us. You don't eat peanut butter with a spoon, like out of the jar
on a daily basis?
No,
I don't. Nope. I don't.
Do you know what my favorite snack
is? But Matt does.
Yeah, I know. But again, I take a slice of butter and then I take a spoonful of peanut butter and then I put both those things in my mouth.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's next level. I mean, I admire that.
Yeah.
To be honest.
It's a real creamy, salty journey, and yep. I am here for it. Okay.
Okay. Wow. We went on a detour, but I mean, you know, that always happens when we talk about lentils. There's just so much to say.
It really is fascinating to me what we deep dive into on this podcast. And it's everything from like disordered eating and diet culture to lentils.
Mm-hmm.
It's just we cover the spectrum.
And we really do.
And I will say, like, I have really been amazed at how many lentil heads are out there.
Well, you know, it's a very versatile food.
And I think for people who eat a plant-based diet, yes, it has, like, a ton of stuff one might need.
It is a superfood, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I don't know if it officially is a superfood, but it really checks a lot of boxes.
Well, I have been looking at recipes for lentil. My kids love Sloppy Joes. Lentil Sloppy Joes.
Oh.
Now, I don't know if my children would eat them, but there are a lot of lentil Sloppy Joe recipes out there.
There was a great looking recipe for lentil meatballs the LA Times published.
I saw you shared that. Yeah,
I shared that. And I was going to make them the other night, and I looked on the recipe, and it was like a little too elaborate for what I was feeling up for.
That's fair.
It involved beets, and I was like, I don't think I'm up for roasting beets right now.
No.
But if someone wanted to make those for me,
okay,
those would be delicious.
You're pushing your luck here.
Oh, I wasn't saying you need to make them. I was just saying, like, someone. I'm just putting it out into the universe.
Okay. Well,
like, maybe my husband's listening and he will make me lentil meatballs.
Those do sound good.
They looked really good. Anyway.
Okay.
All right.
We could talk about lentils forever.
We could.
Truly. Who knew that's what
Who's our next call?
Okay, hold on. We had a callback. Do you remember a listener who called in a few episodes ago who walked into a tree along the Charles River? Like,
oh,
walked
yes,
into a
I
branch
do.
And cut their face?
And she had questions about facial scars.
Yes, well, they followed up.
Okay, great. I love a follow-up.
Hey, Kate and Dory. This is the listener who called after hitting her head while walking her puppy by the Charles. I just heard my voice on the episode. Crazy. I was folding my laundry, and then I was like, oh, my God, is that me? And now I'm very excited. So thank you so much for playing my voicemail. That is such a treat. And I just wanted to say that actually I figured out what to do, and it worked incredibly well. And somehow I have almost no scar already. So here's what I learned. I talked to a friend who is a doctor, and this was their advice, and I followed it, and this is what happened. They said, whatever you do, don't let it scab. So cover it in Vaseline and keep it covered and keep it out of the sun. So I covered that puppy with Vaseline, not my actual puppy, my head. I covered my head with Vaseline, and I put a Band-Aid on it, and I kept the Band-Aid on for like a week and a half. I changed the Band-Aid every day, and I always kept it covered with Vaseline. I washed my face, but not that part of my face. I just always kept a covering of Vaseline. And it never scabbed. And instead of scabbing, it just grew new skin. And eventually, about 2 weeks after, I took the Vaseline off and I washed my face, and per your recommendation, was very gentle with product, just like a gentle cleanser and moisturizer. And I am happy to report that it is basically healed, and I have very, very, very limited scarring. And I think that come August 2020, while I am getting married, it will be completely gone. So thank you so much for indulging my vanity and for playing my voicemail. What a treat. I love you both so much. I love the podcast, and I hope that this is helpful to somebody else who finds themselves in a similar predicament. So I really hope nobody else does. All right. Thank you so much. Bye.
I feel great about this.
This was very informative.
Yeah.
And we had some other suggestions come in from other listeners. Now I feel like I could handle a wound and try not to let it scar. I never had thought about not letting it scab.
Another listener wrote in and had that advice too.
And look, I know Vaseline has been a hotly debated product on this podcast, but I just want to give it credit where credit is due.
And credit is due.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, I love me some Vaseline. I also had a fantasy as this listener was talking of us walking them down the aisle. Is that weird?
That's a little weird.
Like, what if we walked somebody down the aisle? That's too much, I realize.
Wow. I don't know if I'm ready to go there yet.
You're not?
I don't know.
Okay. I mean, look, it is a stretch.
Yeah.
Just saying. Someday in the realm of this podcast. All right. We had one more very sweet voicemail from a listener who was just weighing in on what they think of the pod, but it was really cool and I wanted to share it.
Hi, Kate and Dory. My name is Anne from Michigan. I could not wait to call in. I've been listening since the beginning. I love your pod. The East meets West, you guys and Fat Mascara combo I almost wet my pants. I am so excited. I loved hearing this. I don't know. It's just from an audience perspective, the two of you are wonderful. When I'm done with yours, I go right to them, to the Fat Mascara podcast. But the four of you together was magic. I loved it. I am 62, almost 63 years old. I just got into skincare and beauty and makeup when I turned 60, believe it or not. And you guys have made such an influence. I have never had a hobby in my life, and I swear to you now, it's skincare and mascara and everything else. And to the point where I've taken a lot of what you guys have taught and Fat Mascara has taught me, and I'm going into my friends' homes, and we're doing skincare stuff and makeup, and we are having a hoot with it. So I just want to say what a wonderful, wonderful impact you guys have made on me. And I will always feel forever 35, although my skin doesn't show it. But anyway, thanks so much, guys. I love every podcast you put out, and I just appreciate you so much. Thanks. Bye.
That almost made me cry.
I'm never feeling down. I'm just going to play that in my headphones.
That was so nice.
And
she and her friends are really into skincare now.
And mascara.
And mascara.
Oh, Dory's about to cry.
Oh, so nice.
It was really nice. I also felt like it was a wonderful addition to our conversation about hobbies. Because yes, skincare and makeup can be a hobby.
Totally.
It's not vain. I don't think you're buying into like the beauty industrial complex.
You could hear how much joy it brings her in her voice.
Yes.
And it has strengthened her bonds of friendship.
Totally. I loved it.
This is a Hall of Fame voicemail.
Thank you for this. And we just want to say that it was a true treat to get to talk to the Fat Mascara friends.
Yes.
And what took so long? I don't know.
I don't know. And I hope you all heard them on our show last week.
They're wonderful.
They're so great.
So great. So cool. Okay.
We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I like to care for my skin, duh. And it's also something that I do love to kind of like get into the research on.
You do have a curious mind.
Look, I have a curious mind. I can't help it.
You do.
But today's sponsor, OneSkin, has made that easy because they do their own fantastic research for their products. In fact, their products are scientifically validated to improve your skin's health while targeting the root cause of aging. The secret is OneSkin's proprietary OS1 peptide. It's the first ingredient proven to switch off the aging cells that cause lines, wrinkles, and thinning skin, and they've got several studies to back it up. They also have an amazing new sunscreen.
Ooh, our favorite.
Our fave. It's the OS1 Shield Protect and Repair SPF 30 Plus. It's got the peptide. It's a mineral sunscreen. It's got antioxidants. It comes in tinted and untinted. I mean, like, what can't this thing do? I'm just saying. I love it. It's so easy to use, and I love that it's just like zoop and it feels so nice going on. But don't take my word. Don't take my word for it. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews and was recently recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands of 2024. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code FOREVER at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code FOREVER. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them, and please support your show and tell them we sent you. Well, we're back.
Here's an email.
Here is an email.
Hi, Kate and Dory. Regarding the caller on the mini episode who was unhappy with the sound of her voice and your discussion of how female gendered voices in society are often perceived, I wanted to share a practice that helps me check my perceptions. Sometimes when I am listening to someone speak, literally anyone but usually on TV, I will imagine that the words are coming out in a different voice or accent with a different person saying them. I will imagine the words coming from different body types, races, ages, or gender expressions. Then I consider if and why my attitude to the content changes. I find that this is a great check against any implicit biases I might have. Additionally, as an SLP, speech language pathologist, I understand that sometimes people want to change the way they speak. Insurance does not cover accent modification services in the US because they are not a disorder, but it is good to know that the service is available from SLPs and other professionals.
This was very informative.
Interesting practice.
I love when an expert weighs in.
Me too.
And that is a really interesting practice. I'm going to try that.
I've never tried that either, but I think that would be really beneficial.
Yeah.
We'll report back. Thank you, listener. Thank you, SLP.
Should I read this next email?
Yes.
Great. I'm writing today because a good friend's mom is coming to the end of her battle with breast cancer, and I'm just broken over feeling like I want to do more for her to help her navigate this unforeseeable territory that is so unfair. I have no true understanding of the pain she feels, as I've been lucky enough not to be in her position. I guess I'm just looking for insight from Kate, who has been there, as to what are a few things for me to remember as I walk alongside her in the coming days, months, and years. She has two young daughters. One is a bestie of my own four-year-old daughter. I can't imagine the overwhelm of parenting your own littles in such a time of loss, in a time of such loss and hurt. Anyways, I just want to show up the best I can for her in what is and will continue to be a hard, hard season and beyond. I want to remind her how strong she is, but also allow her to feel broken. We are Christians, so I want to remind her of God's promise, but also be mad and confused and frustrated with her. I want to support her indefinitely and not do less just because I'm unsure what to do or say. Also, having someone close to me going through this, I want to also acknowledge your journey, Kate. I just can't even begin to imagine, and I am so sorry. You are so strong. Thanks for your time. One last thing. I saw this on my Insta feed via a friend, and this seems like great company to share a moment of mindfulness with. If you're reading or listening, join me. Soften your forehead. Unclench your jaw. Relax your shoulders. This is a reminder to release the tension you're holding in your body.
Did you just do that as you read it?
Yes.
Yeah, I did too. That was nice. Thank you for that little contribution to your very lovely message. I mean, I read this email and all your intentions are there set out before you. You're already aware of what you want to do. And so however you're going to express those things, I think, like, I don't know if you need us to tell you what to do. I feel like you already know. Look, this is a person, your friend has a mother. She has two young daughters. Maybe you can say, like, can I take the kids for the day and let you have some space? would you all like to come over and watch a movie? You suss it out. Mm-hmm. I'm reading all the things you want to do, and I would just say start putting them into action. Show up for her. Well, what does that look like in your relationship? Is it texting? Is it calling? Is it writing? You talk about your relationship to God. I feel like that can be something that you include in what you share with her. And I think you're mm-hmm. also conscious of the fact like that her relationship to her faith is going to may change or yeah. there may be questions or whatnot. And I think that you just sound like you're very empathetic. And I would say to you say you want to support her indefinitely. I think I've talked about this a lot, but I have a friend, my mom's been dead for 13 years. And I have a friend who sends me a card on the anniversary of my mom's death and also my mom's birthday every year. Mm. And like most of the time, like people don't remember anymore, which is fine because the world keeps moving and our lives keep moving. But you can show up for someone indefinitely. And I think that is what it matters, is that like the hard days, like, yes, Mother's Day will be hard.
Yeah.
Or yes, whatever holidays they celebrate will be hard, but like also like random Tuesdays are hard, you know? And so remembering that too, I think is really powerful.
I just always think about what Nora McInerney said when she was on the podcast. Like when people ask, what can I do? It's like, what can you do?
Yes, totally. Go walk her dog.
Yep.
Bring food. Do her laundry, or you know, like hire someone to go clean the house for a day. I mean, you can do, there's so much. And I would say like always communicate with the person, but you could also say like, hey, I'm free on this day, do you want me to come over and just hang out? Like one thing friends did for me were like, I had friends right after my mom died who said like, I'm gonna be in town this weekend. Like they came home knowing my mom had just died, but they were like, you don't need to see me, but just know I'm here if you mm-hmm. want to come hang out with me, or like you want me to come to you or whatever. And this is my friend Annie did this for me. And then I like went to her house and we just like talked and laughed. And Annie, who is a dancer and a body worker, just like massaged my back. Ooh, Annie nice. Gives the best massages, I will say. The rest of my high school friends, we just don't give good massages. So we always just want Annie to give us massages. But like she just made herself available, didn't push herself. Like it was open for me. So I think letting them know, letting them know you're there, and consistently letting them know that, but also walking the fine line of letting them also have agency in how they want to grieve with you.
Totally.
Because your friend could also shut you out, and that might be where they are in their process, and that is also okay, and that's hard, might be hard for you.
Would you recommend that she also reach out to the spouse?
I don't see why not. I think I did that when a friend's parent was dying. I think I just said also to my friend's spouse, like, hey, if there's anything else that you think I could be doing that I'm not aware of, please let me know. Mm-hmm. Or if there's anything you all need, please let me know. I've done that a few times. Yeah. And I think I've also will let my friend know, like, FYI, I don't want anyone to think I'm going behind their back. But yeah, I think you can totally let them know. But I love that you're asking this question, listener. You're a great, great friend. Trust yourself that you already know what to do.
Yeah.
Dory?
Yes.
We're going to really switch gears here.
Okay.
Because a caller called us from another country, and I want to share what they said.
Hello, Kate and Dory. This is Oslo, Norway calling. My name is Tina, and I love your podcast, and I think it's really valuable that you keep talking about how we can care for ourselves in this world. I was chronically ill for the last 5 years, and I'm finally getting better, and now I have decided to do what I always wanted to do, which is become a musician. And I just want to encourage anyone who can, who get a second chance, to do something they love, because I've never felt this great. Making music for me gives me flow and I forget everything else, and it's the ultimate self-care. So do it. Also, for context, I'm 40. I was last a musician at 20, and then I didn't dare do it. So now, here I am, jumping both feet in or head first. I don't know. It's a struggle, but it's so worth it. So I just, yes, do it. Everyone, do it.
Wow.
I think that is a great message.
Yes, I agree.
I was very moved to get that voice memo.
That's so powerful to like start doing something again that you used to do.
Yes, because so often, like, don't you ever find yourself being like, oh, I used to be a this or I used to do that.
Yep.
And revisiting it. Just do it, as they say.
Just do it.
Thanks for calling from Oslo.
Yeah.
You know what that voicemail led me to do? Google Oslo.
Oh, it's a lovely city.
Have you been?
Mm-hmm,
oh, look at you. I've never been to Norway.
Mm.
Well, I immediately was like, get me there.
It's really cool. It's very expensive.
Well, seems like there are cool people who live there.
Yeah.
And they listen to this podcast. All right, let's take another break.
Okay, let's do it.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
So we have a couple emails to end on, which are both about marriage in a way,
mm-hmm.
which I thought was kind of interesting.
I agree.
Here's what one listener wrote. I've been listening to you ever since the beginning and never thought I would actually write in since I'm always more of a passive listener. My question to you both is that as mothers who kept their maiden names, do you ever intend on changing it to match the rest of your family? I also understand that as writers, you both also have your careers under your maiden names as well. Kate, do your daughters care that your last name is different from theirs? I currently have a newborn son and always thought that I would change my last name whenever I got pregnant. Once I actually did get pregnant, I realized my maiden name is me and my identity, which is probably after 10 years of marriage why I never changed it. However, if I had a daughter, I definitely wouldn't change my last name because I want to teach her to be strong and independent. My husband doesn't care and supports me keeping my maiden name and has never pushed me to change it. I do get some hate from some of my more traditional friends who thinks it's strange that I haven't changed my last name. I mean, if someone accidentally refers to me as Mrs. Smith, I never correct them and say, actually, please call me by my maiden name, Miss Jones. I guess I'm just interested in your opinions and what other listeners think about the topic.
This is interesting. I mean, well, do your daughters care that you don't have the same last name as them? Has that ever come up?
Yeah, it comes up all the time. And I'm just like, my last name is Spencer. There you go. I mean, the conversation my husband and I had was like, we didn't feel like we wanted to hyphenate our kids' last names.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mind that they don't have the same last name as me. I have some friends who've taken, in heterosexual pairings, who've taken the wife's last name for their kids and for their partners. Like it... I think we can be more open-minded to the fact that like men can also change their last names.
Totally.
And again, we're talking, I think both of us specifically about heterosexual relationships because mm-hmm. that's what this listener wrote in about and that's what we're in. So I think however you want to do your last name is fine. And I think, you know, I totally see your point about if you have a daughter, definitely not changing it. But like, you also want your son to understand that, like, you know, that you're strong. And again, I don't think it means that people who change their last name to match
aren't
their
strong and
independent. Yeah, I don't. I think so much has been put on this, and it really is an individual's choice, and that's it. You know, and sometimes I will introduce my whole family, like when I'm out with my husband and my kids, as like we're the kings,
because
like it's just easier, and like I like us all being a group of people with the same name. But I have no, it wasn't professional for me. I'm Kate Spencer. That's who I have always been and who I always will be.
Yeah.
How about you?
I was never planning on changing my name, but I also grew up with a mom who didn't change her name.
Oh really? Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't realize that. So yeah. Mine did.
Yeah. And, you know, my mom got married at 24 and she hadn't even started her career yet. So I think she was just living the 70s life, just living that, look, you know, Ms. Magazine life, and kept her name. And so I think, like, growing up with that, it made me feel like, no, that's not really weird, you know, to have my mom have a different last name. So that aspect of it, like, I don't really care about. It's funny though, like, it does seem like there are some people who, like, passive aggressively are annoyed that I didn't change my last name.
I have that in my own life as well.
Like, in-laws will get, like, holiday cards addressed to Mr. and Mrs. Matt Myra, and I'm like, I'm not, that's not my name.
Yeah. Yeah. I like, that has happened to me and with different people. Sure. Yeah, I know. And that's, I think it can be very hard for certain people who to understand why you might not change your name.
Yeah.
Again, I would say I would encourage men in heterosexual relationships to change their last names.
I agree.
Right?
Yeah.
Anthony Spencer is what I'm going to call him from now on.
Sounds very distinguished.
Yeah, it does. You know what people say to me a lot, Doris?
What?
Because a lot of people are shocked I didn't change my last name because Kate King sounds, quote, good.
Oh, that is a cool name. But, like, who cares? Kate Spencer sounds good, too.
I've had more people comment for that reason than, like,
funny.
You don't want to have the same name as your husband? Like, it's more just oh, but Kate really King funny. Is a cool name. I guess, but...
Right.
I don't know. It's not my name. My last name is Spencer. It doesn't mean I don't love my partner. Anyway, I think it is an individual's decision.
Yeah, I agree.
And then you and your spouse can decide together, you know, if you want to make it... If you both want to have, I mean, I know I have friends who, like, made up a last name for them and their spouse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, anything goes. Let's just accept people for who they are and what they want to be.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, maybe listeners will weigh in and totally disagree with us.
Please.
Which we welcome.
Disagree with us.
Yes. Anyway, thank you. This is a really interesting topic, listeners. So thank you. Do whatever you want. Tell the rest of the world to F off if they don't like it.
Yeah. All right, last email. I love the show and I've been getting too in my head about something. I'm hoping to hear some advice from trusted pod hosts instead of faceless wedding blogs. My partner and I, we're a same-sex couple, plan to get engaged in the next few months. We have been together for over 5 years, recently bought a house together, and have pets. We've known that we're end game since about 6 months into our relationship, but have been in no rush to make it legal. But we have discussed that marriage and children is what we want eventually since the beginning. The time feels right to make it official, especially now that we own property together. We did some ring shopping in person to nail down each of our tastes and preferences. We are each making the final decision and purchase for the other, and the proposals will be a surprise. My ring for her will be ready next week. I'm so excited. But now that it's all becoming so real, I have some analysis paralysis about when and how to do the proposal. Her work has been a stress explosion recently. I know there's never a perfect time, but doing the proposal during this period feels off. I've always planned on proposing while on a hike. It's how we met. But it's peak rainy/dreary season where we live, so we're not hiking as often right now. We have an international vacation planned for late April, but having the ring hidden for 3+ months sounds maddening. There's also all this generic advice that I'm reading about getting manicures beforehand, having secret photos taken during the moment, planning meetups with family afterwards, et cetera, that is hard to tease out what would be worthwhile and what has just become popular for the gram. So what do y'all think is important in a proposal? Should I wait in an indeterminate amount of time for less stress, better weather, vacation? How do I hide the actual ring in my own excitement and nerves?
Oh, I'm so excited for you.
I know. Me too.
Congratulations.
That's so cool.
So let's plan their proposal.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay, I think...
I'm thinking flash mob.
Flash mob. Everyone has
coordinated
manicures.
Coordinated dance routine.
Yep. Professional photographers.
And videographers.
Definitely. And, like, a TikToker.
Yep.
We kid listener. We think you should do whatever feels... I mean, well, I'm speaking for Dory and I. Sorry. I never do. I don't try to do that. Do I do that?
Go ahead.
Oops,
keep going.
Sorry. We believe this.
I'll tell you if you're not speaking for me.
Boy, I personally think you should do whatever feels the most organic to you and your partner and not worry, unless having manicures does feel like your vibe and having family there. But if that's not you or doing it on vacation, you don't want to wait. Yeah, I mean, I get that. It doesn't need to be perfect for Instagram or for just like your own satisfaction. I often think the most spontaneous and imperfect moments like this are the most memorable. And if it means like showing up, meeting her after work one day and her work is super stressful and you just like on a walk, kneel down in the middle of the street, that's awesome. I imagine it must be really, really hard to be having these life events at a time where so much of our lives feel exposed and needing to appear perfect to everybody else. Did I speak for you, Dory?
Kate, I was just going to say you could have spoken for me. So I don't know why you backtracked, but you could have spoken for me.
I mean, I don't think like you need to wait for vacation.
No, I don't think so.
And I would say like if you were stressed at work and your partner proposed, I would be okay with
that. I was going to say the same thing. When you suggested like taking her out after work, I feel like that would be the perfect time, like go to a nice dinner and propose.
Yeah.
Like she would be so excited.
And like what a way to make worse work bearable.
Totally.
Again, don't like do it whatever you want.
Yeah,
but
I mean, maybe that isn't your vibe.
Yeah.
But to me, that sounds perfect.
I do think like, God, there's a lot of this pressure now, like having the secret photographer or like the family all being there after, like, God, there's a lot of pressure and spending and everything put on all these things. And, you know, it really is about your relationship and committing, you know, whatever you want to commit to each other. So I don't know if we have any concrete suggestions, but if anyone wants to weigh in on how to propose in 2020.
I think ultimately it's about the two of you. It's not about who else is there or what's on Instagram. It's about the two of you, and you two are going to be making so many more memories after this.
Yes, there will be time to celebrate with family and get manicures and share pictures. Yeah. I don't know if that all has to be done in the instant.
Yeah.
I will say I think they're each doing a proposal for the
other. Yeah, that's really cute.
So I love that this whole time there's a proposal being planned for you.
Totally.
Who knows when that's going to be?
What if the wife writes or the fiance or the, partner. Partner now. They're not married yet.
Future fiancés.
Future fiance.
Future wife.
What if she writes in? Oh my goodness. What's going to happen?
Dory.
Yes.
This has been a real journey of an episode.
It truly has. Proposals.
Rediscovering music careers.
It's all there.
We've had a blast.
We hope you have too.
And thank you all so much for listening and reaching out.
Bye.